Welcome to the Clear Assembly of God podcast. As a church, we pursue Jesus by loving our community, building our faith, and sending our people. We never want you to miss out on what God is doing. So if you're at home, work, or somewhere in between, you can have access to the Sunday morning message. We'd love for you to stay connected with us by visiting us at clearassembly.org or searching Clear Assembly of God on social media. Thanks for being with us, and we really hope you enjoy this message.
Recently, I was doing a little hike by the Amish farm that I go by, and you may have heard me talk about this before, but there's this wonderful big black lab that's there, and what he kind of does almost like a defensive lineman. He gets right in front of my path and doesn't want me to pass by, and then I usually rub his belly, and then he's in dog heaven. And to thank you, Lisa, the scripture says that we won't lose our reward by bringing someone a cup of cold water. So I'm rubbing his belly, and I know his name now. We're buds. So I say, bingo, I got to keep going. And so this took a little while. We were kind of like dancing. I'm trying to go left, trying to go right. He's blocking me. And then he jumps up, and he gives me a kiss on the mouth. It wasn't a soft kiss. It was like, bam, you know. And I was kind of like, thanks, Bingo. But when he jumped up, there was that opportunity to make my move. And so I kept on going. But I share that little story just because the Bartimaeus story, it happens rather when Jesus is in motion. And so, sermon notes are in your bulletin. They'll be on the screen as well. Let's pray over this message today. Father, we thank you. I thank you for the students coming and sharing the Bartimaeus story with us and how awesome that was. And Lord, let us enter in. Let us enter into this great story and enter into the scripture. And Lord, kind of become Bartimaeus in the moment. Truthfully, we all have some blindness in us. We pray that you'd open our eyes. Remind us what we sang today, that great amazing grace song, that once I was blind and now I see. And Lord God, may we have that deep sense of gratitude. Lord, we also pray that you'd stir us, that we would bring to you, Lord, any part of us that needs your touch, Lord, your touch on our family, Lord, your touch on our physical body, your touch on woundedness, and maybe there's crisis in family, and we just pray the presence of Jesus to move into all those places by your spirit and power. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to kind of kick it off by bringing up this map for you because I just feel like it sets it kind of in context. And I'll just kind of reference it a little bit here. So the Bartimaeus story is kind of moving out of Jericho, and it happens as Jesus is in motion. And so this scripture reference is pointing us right to that story there. And oftentimes God does remarkable things that interrupt people's agendas, right? And so may we be open to the Lord doing that. And so the first thing I want to stress with you, I guess the number one thing here is be bold in prayer. Let's say that together. Be bold in prayer. So look at Mark 10 and 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Didn't Conan do a great job with the shouting, by the way? I thought he did really well with that. And so there's this boldness in prayer. And Bartimaeus may have not seen it as a prayer, But when you start out a sentence, Jesus, have mercy on me, that's a prayer. And actually, it's a wonderful prayer because sometimes we overthink praying, and sometimes we change our voice, and kind of some folks sound really holy when they pray. And it's true. But I think that this just flows out of Bartimaeus. It just is like a fountain that springs up with him and kind of burst out. And so he knew what he needed, right? And I believe that Romans 10, where it says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, could be Bartimaeus is one of the ones that could have been written about. Does that make sense? That Bartimaeus had heard all kinds of stories of Jesus, and so he recognizes the name, and so he prays. And he calls out on the Lord. Now, the whole concept of bold praying, it is something that the Lord calls us to and calls us to go deeper in him. Look at Hebrews 4 and 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. Isn't that great? That one way to apply what's being stated here is Jesus knows everything you're going through, and he's going through it with you. Now, like, we got to say all wholesome things that Jesus would, right? If we're making choices, he's still there, but he's calling us to come back to him if we're making choices that aren't pleasing to him. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Kind of a fascinating thing. Jesus has been tempted by everything, but he never stumbled. Then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I think as adults, we go through life like, I got this, I got this, I got this, everything's good, and then something smacks us, you know? Lord, I don't have this, you know? And I need your grace. And God allows those smackings to happen in life. They're not necessarily a fun thing, but if we look at them from the perspective of Jesus, it's an opportunity to call on him more and draw more upon his strength. Now, I want to tie in here also the New King James, and it draws out this word bold. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so we could conclude that when we really need Jesus and we recognize that we really need Jesus, that's not the time for being super timid about stuff. That's the time to jump in there in prayer boldly, just as Bartimaeus did. The second thing here is silence dream crushers. Let's say that together. Silence dream crushers. Bartimaeus had dream crushers right there. They were immediately there as soon as Bartimaeus begins to cry out, just like we saw in the skit that the students did for us and did such a wonderful job. Mark 10:48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Now, let's just let that settle in. Here's a blind man. Here's Jesus coming. Jesus is the miracle worker, you know, and all kinds of folks are getting touched by Jesus. And so the blind man cries out, and many rebuked him. Wow. I find that kind of a fascinating statement. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but so he became like a wilting flower and collapsed. He was already sitting, so he probably didn't collapse. Is that what it says? No, he shouted all the more. He was gonna get Jesus' attention, right? The man, Jesus, he was going to get his attention in the moment. And I love how Kona did it. Son of David, have mercy on me. So there are always dream crushers in life. And I don't know necessarily what the heart of a dream crusher is, but Bartimaeus, he has this dream that he's going to connect with Jesus, and he's believing for God to heal him. And many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. We have a little graphic of the crabs in the bucket thing, and this is actually a thing that You know, they'll tell you that the crab hunters, fishers, whatever you want to call them, they don't need a lid on their bucket as long as they have two, because one crab starts to crawl out and that other crab pulls it down. It's like a thing. Be set free from crabs in your life, okay, folks? I mean that in context of the message that I'm sharing with y'all. Come on now. But notice this little dialogue. Oh, no, you don't. Where do you think you're going? Come back down here where the rest of us belong. So, yeah, there are folks like that in life. There are folks that are dream crushers in life. And we can pray for them. We can bless them. But never let them crush your dreams. A couple specifics here. And I want to set it up this way. So, you know, I've shared with you my story that we were like the party family, and brother was a 16-year-old dealer, not Brother Fred, different brother, but 16-year-old drug dealer, and that's kind of like maybe what we were known for as a family. And I remember leaving the world, and then I think this conversation probably senior year in high school, and I'm saying to my friend that, you know, God has called me, and I'm going to go do ministry. This is what God wants me to do with my life. And then he says, I guess someone has to do it, he said. Like, someone has to do it. Sadly, he would go on spring break and did a lot of drugs over spring break and kind of fried his brain and was never the same again after the one spring break trip. Well, there are always dream crushers that are pushing down specifically on what God wants you to do in your life. And so I want to reference about three here. And one is discrimination. It was part of the culture that if folks were blind, they were seen as, we see it in the John 9 story of another healing of a blind man, that where they ask Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? You see how there's this view that's being expressed that somebody had to sin for there to be blindness. And that's not the thing at all. There's not a connection there. But I think there was discrimination against him as a blind man. And so let's also do deaf to all of that. Let's never participate in it. Let's never support any form of discrimination in any way. That red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. And the scripture says there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And everybody is special to Jesus. And so they're created in the image of God. And so we're to bless all people. The second is grasshopper syndrome. I'm sure you woke up this morning wondering about grasshopper syndrome, but I want to go to Numbers 13 and verse 3. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land. Perhaps you know the story that the spies go into the promised land and they bring this report back to God's people. We can do this. We can take the land. For we can certainly do this. Verse 31, then men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. Some translations use the word evil there for the report, an evil report about the land. Then they said, the land devours those living in it. And all the people we saw there of great size. No matter how big these people are, who is bigger? God is bigger. God is greater. God's presence was calling them to do this. But the focus was totally misguided. It's all about what's wrong. It's all about how big the people are. We saw the Nephilim there that are descendants of Anak and come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. That's dream crusher stuff. It's grasshopper syndrome. It starts with us comparing, any person comparing themselves to somebody that seems like they're doing better at whatever. By the way, the folk who have the really nice house and five new cars, would you want to trade debt with them? It's a good question, isn't it? Just putting that out there. But grasshopper syndrome. So there's always that there. Somebody's better, somebody's smarter, somebody's richer, fill in the blank. It's always there in life. And sometimes the people who want to put that out there, they want to draw attention to it more. The third is kind of, I'm taking this from the musical years ago, Jesus Christ Superstar, and it's kind of fascinating that the secular culture made this musical about Jesus, but it's the title kind of says where they're coming from, that Jesus is this superstar, and that's not why Jesus came. But you see people treating him that way, and I think that the detractors, the dream crushers, were teaching, basically sending the message to Bartimaeus. Look at Luke 8:49. While Jesus was still speaking, some came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." What gives anybody the right to say to someone, "Don't bother Jesus about anything"? And you see how they're looking at Jesus like he's got limited time and limited ability, and so let's not bother Jesus. That's how they're looking at it. But no, that's not the thing at all. Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." And so we see multiple stories in Scripture where Jesus raises the dead, you know, and thanks be to God for that. So do you have dream crushers in your life? Don't give them a seat at the table. Don't give them a voice in your head. The choice is much more about, let's go after what God wants for your life, right? What God wants for your life, and the saying sometimes is true that misery loves company. When folks are chasing after dreams, and maybe it's the crab in the bucket thing, come down here with the rest of us kind of thinking. We don't want that to impact, and we certainly don't want it to crush dreams in our life. The third is Jesus' calling. Let's say that together. Jesus is calling. Mark 10:49, so we're back to the Bartimaeus story here. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man. And it's kind of fascinating to me that this likely it's the case that the same people that were rebuking him and telling him to be quiet now say, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Right? Kind of remarkable how it flips. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And so the little couple of words, "Jesus is calling," I feel like it's almost overused to the point where we sort of shut that phrase down. Almost we become, dare I say, and God forbid that we would do this, but we become immune to the fact, immune to that news that Jesus is calling. This is the greatest thing in the history of the world, right here, that Jesus is calling, and he's calling Bartimaeus, but he's calling you as well. And I invite you to enter into the Bartimaeus story, and have you been discriminated against? And all about discrimination is somehow lesser. Somehow folks are perceived as lesser and treated as lesser. And basically that whole thing makes sort of a hierarchical ladder to climb for people. You know, the best, I worked at this, I was a busboy back in the day working at this restaurant, and it was kind of upscale. And the waiters would come and say, "The beautiful people are coming today." I'm like, and I wanted to say, "What are you talking about? Beautiful people?" What they meant was people with money that we're gonna leave a big tip. And so I better do my job for the beautiful people so they could get a good tip. Ain't no beautiful people. Why don't you point to someone and say, ain't no beautiful people. Will you work with me a little bit on this? There's Now you get what I'm saying in the context of if there are beautiful people, then there are people who aren't beautiful. Which I guess is all the rest of us, I guess, or whatever. But the point is, no, that's not Jesus' thing at all. That Jesus is calling, and he's calling you. And I want to tie in here the great festival in John chapter 7. And Jesus, one of the fascinating studies to do is as the Gospels are racing toward the cross, Jesus keeps referencing the power of the Holy Spirit, which is really, really awesome. And this is one of those. And so the context here is there's water taken out of the pool of Siloam that is part of the festival, and it's the seventh day, and there's all this celebration, and Jesus is like, his life is at risk, so he's kind of like, he's not really in any major way going to the festival. He's really under the radar. But then in this moment where he can share with folks about the power of the Holy Spirit, John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And then he goes on and he shares about the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is calling you, but he's also calling us to go deeper, always, always deeper in the Holy Spirit. And I want to press into this thought too. Jesus calling you at some level makes everything okay, because he created you and he knows what's best. I didn't say easy, I didn't say simple, but Jesus always has a plan for you, and he wants to walk with us, right? Bartimaeus, he throws his cloak aside when it comes to Jesus. What's going on there? Well, most of the blind in Jesus' day were homeless. And so his cloak is also like his sleeping bag, right? And many were beggars, as Bartimaeus is doing also. And so he takes this cloak and he throws it. Now, I don't know, but I kind of feel like Bartimaeus probably didn't eat all that great. And he's blind and he's begging and he probably doesn't move all that much. But to take your cloak off and throw it aside is an act of express energy that he's doing in this moment. What's he doing? If the cloak is like a sleeping bag and Jesus is calling to him, he's not going back the same way as he came, and he knows it. Isn't that great? And so, friends, we have that opportunity too, that Jesus is calling you this day. Jesus is calling you this moment, and whatever represents your cloak, the old way of living about anything. You know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but if I did ask for a show of hands, who would say, you know, Jesus, he's not working on my life about anything today? Oh, really? Okay, you'd be the first one in history that ever happened to. Rather, Jesus is continually working on us, calling us, speaking to us about things. What is your cloak? And how does Jesus want you to leave today changed person, a changed person? And are you really, are you willing to throw that cloak aside? I think the throwing the cloak aside kind of seals the deal. What are we willing to throw aside to follow him that represents any place in our life that isn't touched by him? Now, when I make a statement like that, let me be quick to clarify. I'm not talking about medically doing really risky things because Jesus is speaking to you. That's not what I'm saying at all. So don't go there. Don't interpret what I just said in the context medically. That's not really what we're talking about. So he came to Jesus. May I never stop coming to Jesus, right? Do you have a family crisis? Come to Jesus. Do you have people in your life that you're praying would come to Jesus? You come to Jesus more, right? You lift their name up before the Lord. I just love what I do, and what I do is in terms of pastoring. I love pastoring, and it doesn't define who I am. But one of the things that I absolutely love is hearing from you all about how God is working in your life, and God is blessing and touching. And there have been so many of those stories really recently about you all sharing with me what God's doing and how God is blessing and God is. And you talk about, like, the 23rd Psalm says, my cup runs over, right? That's something that fills my cup, that God is blessing. So let's never stop coming to him. When we never stop coming to Jesus, we have to guard our heart about attributing the hurts in life to him in some way. What does that mean? You know, nobody goes through life unscathed. We all go through things. I think it kind of starts like this. If Jesus really cared, then why did this happen? Or why is this happening? And that thought takes form in people's, it can take root in everybody's life about something. Why did this happen? I think a great question back to that question is, compared to what? Compared to what? Do you see what I'm asking? Compared to what? In the sense that God is good. He's good all the time. We believe in Romans 8:28 that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, called according to his purpose. We have his word. We have the Holy Spirit. We still suffer and struggle through things. I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just saying, and no suffering that you experience is without some kind of greater purpose. Are you with me there? That we can call on God more. We can pray more. We can trust him more. Oftentimes, it's at those really difficult moments in life that you're being the greatest witness to someone else that you don't even know is watching what you're doing. See how that works? And so it's when things are going great, yes, I'm coming to Jesus, and me and Jesus, it's also true. He can be the most real when you don't feel him. We sing that song, you know, even though I can't see it, I can't feel it, he's with me and he's moving. So develop that thing, that kind of like muscle memory, that when it's going great, we're coming to Jesus. But when things are really struggling, we're coming to him too. And then pray specifically. This is a prayer also that Bartimaeus lifts up, and he may not even know that he's praying, but he's praying. And I love the authenticity of it and the spontaneity of it. Pray specifically. Mark 10:51. Jesus asked you this question too. It's not, we always have to clarify when we press into a store like this. It's not Santa Claus, you know. It's not genie in the bottle. It's not that at all. But Jesus does say to us, all of us, I believe, what do you want me to do for you? I believe Jesus says that to us, that we would understand that he's God and we're his servant and we don't control him. But I believe Jesus comes and says that to us. And notice that Bartimaeus, he had an answer. He had an answer right away. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. God wants to, I believe God longs to touch areas of hurt in our life, whatever they may be. And I believe also that everybody on the planet has blindness in some way. How do you respond when your blindness is exposed a little bit? Or maybe we could say blind, blind spots, or when a kind person shows us that, lovingly shows us that we messed up in some way. I think most everybody gets pretty defensive in that moment. I think that's kind of human nature. People are letting us know that we're imperfect. What if we flip that around, and when loving, caring people show us that we're imperfect creatures, we say, bless you, thank you, I pray for me. I'm still a work in progress. Sometimes the second way to respond takes a little time for folks to get there, doesn't it? But we all have blindness. Would you bring it to Jesus? Would you bring your hurts to Jesus? He wants to touch them. Jeremiah 33:3, it kind of goes right with this pray specifically, but it could just as equally be about praying boldly. Call unto me. There's that calling again. I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And so Bartimaeus, he prays specifically, and we ought to have a specific prayer. We ought to kind of screen that through the Lord's Prayer, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we always want to kind of pause and make sure that we're praying according to God's will, but we ought to have an answer. I love the prayer ministry of our church, that we always encourage folks to send prayer requests, and those are prayed over regularly, and I love that we have awesome answers to those prayers. So Thursday, May 2, is a National Day of Prayer, and we're going to pull up a pic for that as well for you. And so National Day of Prayer, and so I'm humbled and privileged to lead the Clare County Pastors Group. And there's a prayer focus in each. There's Harrison, Farwell, and Clare. We're hosting the Clare on May 2nd, and my dear wife, Lisa, will be leading that. But I kind of want to lead us to also 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is great for this. It's a great prayer always, but especially in an election year. If my people, so who does it start with? It starts with God's people, right? If my people who are called by my name, there can be no greater name than being called by the name of the Lord, will humble themselves and pray, they flow together. It's in a spirit of humility that we pray and seek my face. And notice the seeking of the face, it's an intensity in prayer. It's going deeper in prayer. It's being visited perhaps by a burden for prayer and giving one's heart to that burden. And notice it's after all of that and turn from their wicked ways. We don't really like the word wicked, you know? We think of preachers saying wicked like 100 years ago or whatever, but not in this enlightened modern day. Well, here it is in Scripture, and it occurs quite a few times, but it's a reminder that as we press into God more, God shows us more our desperate need for Him. That's really good for us. We want to be totally clean before the Lord, turn from their wicked ways, and then here's this awesome promise that God offers. And if there's ever been a time in the history of our country that we need this prayer, we need it now. But it starts with God asking us to do the things before. After the comma, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal the land. We desperately need a healing of the land today. And then the fifth and final is always follow Him. Let's say that together. Always follow Him. So Mark 10:52, go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Now Jesus says this, right? Jesus is the one who says this. So if we step back from it, it's Jesus responding to the faith in Bartimaeus. Jesus knows that Jesus healed him, but he's responding to him. And so it's kind of like the woman with the issue of blood. She presses through to touch Jesus. Or it's like Jacob wrestling with the angel that is really Christ, in my view, that is Christ, but before Christmas, right? But Jacob says, I'm not leaving till you bless me. And God, the heart of God is stirred by that kind of faith and that also kind of desperation. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. I find that whole thing really fascinating because he said to him, go, your faith has healed you. And then he receives his sight and then he follows Jesus on the road. Now, who you want to talk to when you get to heaven, right? It's a good question. Certainly we want to see all of our loved ones. I kind of want to talk to Lazarus, to hear from Lazarus. What was it like when Jesus called out your name? And if Jesus hadn't said Lazarus, then the whole grave would have emptied out. He would have just said, come forth, and everybody's coming out. But I think it would have been kind of awesome also to sit down with Bartimaeus and hear his story about the healing power of Jesus. What an awesome thing that would be. Bartimaeus now has a great testimony. And you gotta believe that just about everybody in Jericho knew about Bartimaeus and that he's a blind beggar. And they probably had planned ways to avoid going by him and all that kind of thing. But now he has a great testimony. He left his cloak behind and he's healed by the Lord. Has God healed your blindness? Who are we telling? Who are we sharing with? Who are we celebrating what Jesus has done? So I want to tie in. I think the Lord would have us do it this way. We'll read this last scripture. And we want to pray together. James 5:13. So the half-brother of the Lord, right, is James, and he's writing this section to the church. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, or to each other rather, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is a powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. There's a whole lot there. What I want to stress today is that God rejoices in touching people. And I think there's a special presence of the Lord here today to whatever our blindness might be, to bring it to him. But I think there's also a special touch of the Lord to pray over healing spirit, soul, and body. And that we would identify with Bartimaeus and we would bring that to him. We want to lift up Amazing Grace in just a moment. But I kind of want to tell a little bit of the backstory there. The John Newton, he's a slave trader. And if you can think about something that a man can do with his life that represents just about the farthest you can possibly be from what God would want someone to do, I think being a slave trader is gotta be on pretty high on that list. The number of slaves that died taking those horrific ships, and it was all about basically kind of like cattle, that people were treated like cattle, like commodities to be traded and to be sold. But in the midst of that horrific kind of life, the grace of God touches John Newton, and he writes the most beloved hymn, certainly in the modern age. But he says that I was blind, and now I see. Isn't that awesome? And so when we lifted to Jesus, we had that little section that my chains are gone. And for us today in the moment, my chains being gone, I think represents laying aside Bartimaeus's cloak. My chains are gone. I'm a new person in you. I feel like God would tug at us that today, what have you got to lose to be prayed for? Sometimes, specifically about healing prayer, what if I prayed and nothing happened? Well, we pray because God asks us to, right? And we always trust him with the result. Sometimes results are supernaturally instantaneous, and sometimes they take time, but we trust God in all of it. Lisa's gonna stay on the keyboard playing out that kind of greatest of hymns, and let's bow our heads before him. And friend, you just simply say today, I know that I have blindness in my life in this way. Like Bartimaeus, I want to bring it to Jesus and want you to touch it, Lord, and change me from the inside out. Lift a hand high. That's your heart's cry in the house today. Yes, yes. Others here that you know that you need a physical touch. And when we share a story like Bartimaeus, we need to pray for God's healing to be with people. Again, it's not a genie in a bottle. It's just going to God with our hurts and our needs. And you simply say, yes, I need prayer for my physical body. Lift a hand high in the house today. Yes, yes. Others here, God did something when you heard about Bartimaeus leaving his cloak behind. And whatever represents the old way, you want to go forward in him and you want to leave that cloak behind, whatever that is for you. And you're just asking for strength that you'd leave it behind and walk away. And you say, pray for me that God will help me leave that cloak like Bartimaeus did. Lift a hand high in the house. Yes. I want to pray for us. And I think I'm going to ask our deacons in the house to join us at the altar and if they're staff members as well. And I want to pray for us, but we want you to pray however you want to pray. And let's pray together. Father, we lift to you those who said, and God, and at some level, all of us have blindness. And God, we pray that you deal with that, Lord, and show us, Lord, our great need of you. And we bring it before you like Bartimaeus did. And Lord, we believe you to speak blessing and healing and restoration, Lord, over those parts of us that have blindness. Lord, others in the house, we pray, God, that you touch so many who lifted up a hand that they want to lay aside their cloak. And Lord, that represents leaving behind that old way of life that Lord, because you're coming, you're showing up and you're calling to us that we can leave a changed person. And so, Father, we give you praise and honor in the great name of Jesus. Friends, over this kind of healing spirit, soul, and body, I feel like that if you're comfortable, I feel like God would kind of do that this way, that we'd open our eyes now for this moment and you say, yes, I want people to pray over me for God's touch, spirit, soul, and body. And just lift a hand and we'll come as a church. These altars are open if you prefer at the altar. And we'll come as a church and we'll pray. So that's your heart's desire. You want prayer, spirit, soul, and body. Lift a hand high and we'll come and we'll believe God and we'll pray together. And I'm going to pray a prayer over the church, but we also want to pray for you individually as well. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you. And Lord God, we see the ministry of Jesus all throughout Scripture, that you touching people and healing people. And we see in Scripture also that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we bring our need to you, Lord God. And Father, we pray your blessing and your healing power. And Lord God, that there's nothing too great for you. And we thank you. And we pray Scripture over us as a faith community, that you said that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. And it's never a genie genie in a bottle kind of thing, Lord God. But Lord, we pray for your blessing and your healing touch to be with your people. And God, that you would show up mightily, Lord God. And that we would purpose, Lord, as Bartimaeus had that awesome testimony, Lord, may we celebrate, Lord, who you are and touching spirit, soul, and body. And may you be glorified. And Lord, it can be that... It can be that complete recovery, and it can be, Lord, improving day by day. And Father, we just place it all in your hands. And we also remember those that have, Lord, emotional scarring and wounds. And Lord, truthfully, everybody's experienced that in life. And we pray the healing touch of Jesus to go into those deep places of hearts and to restore and to heal. And Father, we lay it all before your powerful throne room. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message, and we would love to hear your story on how this ministry has changed your life. Please email us at office@clareaog.com. If you're in the area, join us on Sunday for a full experience. If you can, please leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe so you can catch our latest message. And remember, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.